Great. Just a few things I want to just do real quick before we dive into today's message. This Saturday morning, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, we're going to have prayer here in the church. Somebody says, well, why 7 o'clock? Man even mentions, well, 7 is kind of early. Let the first part of our day, right, let's be given unto the Lord. You will thank me when we get into the spring and the summer, when you got baseball and basketball and soccer and all that stuff that starts at 9 o'clock. At least we'll be done so you can go on. I coach Little League Baseball, right, so I know what Saturdays can look like. They can be crazy, right? So I want to encourage you to come out and be part of prayer. 7 o'clock, let's give our, when the sun comes up in the morning, let's say, God, we're giving it to you. We're here to pray. We're here to pray strategically, to worship a little bit, and listen, and pray for the sick, and watch what God's going to continue to do in our neighborhood. Amen? And also, the prayer at the table, another part of our prayer ministry here at the church, at the table, we've got the packets of cards that you're taking home. You heard the testimony last week that Wes gave, great testimony about how God is working in their family, because they've sat down together, and they're praying together. So if you checked out some of those packets of cards, please bring them out. Sign out another one, right? Go home, pray. Prayer in the church starts at the family level. We need to be praying as a family. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. And then real quick, Tuesday night here at the church, I think it's 6 o'clock we agreed, right? 6 o'clock Tuesday. 6 o'clock. A memorial service for Val is going to be right here in the church. So, you know, please come out. We're having a wedding, You heard Liz. So it's not a funeral memorial, it's a wedding. So I want to encourage you to come out and be part of that and support Liz and her family. Amen? All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, open them up. What book are we in? There's your quiz this morning. What book are we studying this morning? 1 John. So if you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to 1 John. If you're not sure how to get there, start in the New Testament and start flipping away, right? Start flipping to the left. You'll come Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you find that John, keep going. It's the next one, the one without the red letters in it, 1 John. So 1 John, John, who's an older man now, he's writing this letter, right, to the churches who are dealing with a lot of discouragement. He's writing this letter to the churches who have a lot of issues that are going on that he sees and notices in the body of Christ in the first century. He begins to address some of those issues, right? We've talked about several of those things, right? Walking in the light and not in darkness. We talked about, you know, the lust of the flesh and of the eyes and the pride of life. What was happening, things were happening. The church and the people in the church, right, were trying to combine their pagan ways and fleshly ways with their spiritual ways. And John says, no, look, that's not what you're supposed to do. Last week, we talked a little bit. What did we talk about last week? Remind me. Anybody know what we talked about last week? Nobody knows. All right, I forgot too, so we'll keep going, right? I got to go back and read it again. Isn't that funny? Yeah, I'm human. All right. Are you guys awake this morning? We're going to have a good time this morning. All right. So 1 John chapter 4. Now, here's what Paul is going to address today. He's talking about false teachers. Listen, in our world today, I think in our world where there's 7 or 8 billion people, almost 8 billion people in our world today, right? And access into the homes of most of the people in the world today is pretty easy to get access, right? So if you wanted to, you could probably turn on the TV, go on the internet, whatever, and you could find some kind of teaching, biblical teaching, whether right or wrong, somewhere. And I believe at this moment in time when John is writing this letter, the population now is maybe half a million, 750 million, maybe. It's under a billion people in the world. And he makes this warning about false teachers. Because there's this reality of what's going on. Now, how many of you watch reality shows? Because you remember about 10, 12 years ago, right? Reality shows began to sweep across our nation, right? There was the new kind of entertainment, reality, right? How many of you watched reality shows? Come on, be honest this morning. Liz came up here and said she's being transparent. I'm asking you to be transparent, right? How many of you watch reality shows, right? How many of you know that reality shows are not really reality anymore? Except for one. Honey Boo Boo is reality, all right? That is real. I grew up in the South. I promise you that is the way Southerners act. I know. Okay. All right. So we know, right, reality, a lot of reality is scripted. A lot of what's going on is scripted. The Bachelor, how many of you watched The Bachelor? Do not raise your hands, right? The Bachelor. Listen, that is not the way to find a wife, okay? Bachelorette, that is not the way to find a husband. There's nothing biblical about that. Matter of fact, when I even see it advertised, my stomach turns and cringes. Duck Dynasty, right? I thought for a couple of seasons that that was reality, because, I mean, those guys are good old country boys, right? A lot of that is scripted as well. So a lot of things that are out there in the world that seems real, but when you get up close to them, when you press against them, you find out they're not real. And John is about to address some issues now about false teachers in the church. 1 John chapter 4. And I love what he's writing. He's writing to these people, right? He's writing, he says, I love you, so I'm writing this letter to you, right? Because I've talked about some things, and now I want you to know that something is happening in the churches, right? Even though it might sound right, even though it might appear right, but there was false teachers teaching in the churches at the time. So today's message, I'm titling this, it's called Testing the Spirits. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. This is what John is asking us to do. This is what he's asking the churches to do as he's writing to. He says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many, underline in your Bible the word many, this is the key here, many false prophets have gone into the world. As I talked before, as I said, I don't know what their population was, but if he is here, this smaller population in the world, he's speaking to them now where there wasn't access into every home, social media wasn't around, we didn't have the internet or video cameras, TV, anything, but yet he's saying this to this small group of people. He says, many false prophets have gone out into the world. As a pastor, I am concerned because I realize how easy it is for people who are good at what they say, people who are polished in their speaking and their presentation, how easy it is for them to get their message into our homes. So this topic today that I want to talk about, I believe that John is saying here, I think we need to grab a hold of it. Because I know I listen, right? Here's what, as a pastor, I hear sometimes someone comes, oh, you know, I was listening to this evangelist or this preacher or this. Listen, I spoke to someone this week, and they said, well, I don't attend the church that I used to attend anymore because they told me I can't be friends with people outside the church. Is that biblical? How in the world, as we're talking about this year, right, our big theme for the year is building the culture of discipleship. How in the world are we going to be effective in the world if we have no friends outside the church? Our greatest friendship should be, listen, Maria, she works out like 3 or 4 times in the morning. She had this group of friends around her. These are some crazy women, I'm telling you, right? I think maybe 2 of them know Jesus Christ. The rest of them don't know. But you know what? She's constantly texting because they're asking questions. We're in a political year, right? We're about to elect the next president of the United States. And there are questions coming from every angle. They're coming to her from her friends. We need to have friends outside the church. That's where we're supposed to be doing our ministry, right? That's where we're expanding the kingdom of heaven. So what I feel is for someone to say that, to make that comment, to me, that's a false teacher. That is not biblical. Test everything according to the word of God, right? Let's listen to the next verse here. Because here's what happens now. John gives us some clues on how to pick up on what is true and what is false. He says, by this know the Spirit of God. Notice that the capital S, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Trinity. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. This is what he's talking about. He is not referencing the Antichrist as talked about in Revelation. What he's referencing is the Antichrist, those who are coming to proclaim that they are hearing from Christ, but they're not. What are the words that he said? What did he say? Those who confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Here's what John was dealing with. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He's dealing with Gnosticism. He's dealing with the idea that this group of people had sort of brought into the church was that Jesus wasn't really the man in the flesh. He was just a spirit. Right, he really didn't die on the cross, right? He was just a spirit that kind of went about and did the good things. But we know that that's not true. What was happening, false teachers in the church were preaching Gnosticism, this false teaching, and John is saying, be careful, be aware. Those who confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that's of God. Those who confess that he did not, they're not of God. Are there false teachers in our churches today? Absolutely. Absolutely they are. So what I want us to do today as we look at this, I'm not here to shine a light and have you go back and say, well, I think that person's a false teacher or that person's a false teacher. No. The purpose today is for me to help build your understanding of the truth of God's Word so that you are aware. You are aware of what is right and what is false. We need the discernment of the Holy Spirit, especially in the day that we're in today. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So you understand the reason today? Yeah. All right, great. Let's continue on here. He says this, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Verse 4, little children, you are from God and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Now I believe John, as he's writing this, obviously he's seen a lot of history. He's an older man now. He's watched a lot of history go past him. He's looked back throughout the Old Testament. And he's also sort of referencing something I want to sort of reference today real quick is prophecy. Because I think sometimes we get real caught up, right, on prophecy. How do you tell, right? Let me tell you what prophecy is. Prophecy is basically someone who is expressing, right, in truth from God, things that are to come. Anybody understand that? That was out throughout the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when there were no kings, there were judges and there were prophets. The prophets heard from God. They heard from him and their job was to relay the information, right? A really famous one. Jonah was a prophet, right? And he went and he spoke. The Lord told him, go and speak to Nineveh. Tell them. We know what happened, right? Jonah said, no, I can't do it, right? He jumps on a boat. He takes off. The winds, well, they've got to throw me overboard. A fish ate him. You know, I wish I was a fisherman that caught that big fish, right? How many of you like to fish? Right? Okay, you with us. We'll make sure you're awake. Right? Spinning back up, he's, well, I better go out there and I better say it, but I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to tell them what God said, and God's going to strike them down. But to his amazement, what happened? They turned their hearts back to God, and repentance fell. And if they received forgiveness, that's prophecy. Does prophecy still happen in our world today? Are you awake this morning? Yes, it is. So right away, the leaders of the Old Testament came up with two ways to find out if a prophet was true or not. Because a lot of false teaching today has come from false prophets, right? I've heard many people stand up proclaiming, this is going to happen on this date in 2012. This is going to happen here and this is going to happen there. And what happens is, right, some of the believers who follow after that person fall into that trap. They believe it, and for the next years of their life, they put their years aside in fear of what's about to happen. That's not how we're supposed to live our life. We're supposed to be in the world sharing the love of Jesus Christ. We're to continue the work that Christ started here upon this earth. And if we get caught up in the false teaching and the false prophecies, then the enemy has won. Our voice is not heard. There were two things in the Old Testament leaders that they used to tell if a prophecy was true or not. Here's the first one. Did the prophecy come true? Did it come true? And here's the second one. If the prophecy did come true, I love this. Did it lead to the one true God? In other words, did the prophecy that was given, did it lead someone to Jesus? In the Old Testament, did it lead someone to the true God? Or did it lead them to fear and anxiety? Now, I do believe that people can make predictions, right? We know that people can stand up. You can look at the trends that are happening across our nation and make predictions that might come true. We know that, right? But the question is, is that prophecy, is that prophetic or not? But do they lead to a real relationship with a living God? Or do they cause them to be afraid, fearful, anxious, or actually disengaged from the very thing that came to save us? This was a test that they were using, right? All the prophecies of God from the Old Testament and New Testament have one redeeming value. That they may predict something dire, they may predict something difficult on the earth, but it strengthens, it encourages, and it comforts. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, so this morning there's several things I want us to take out of these passages of Scripture I want us to look at, okay? Several things I think that will help us today as we begin to let the living Word of God into our hearts and into our lives. Verse 1, let's look back at verse 1 where we said, it said, many false prophets have gone out into the world. I want you to hear this morning. As Christians, as believers, not all that glitters is of God. All right? Not all that glitters is God. Just because it looks good doesn't mean it's God. Now, our younger generation, let me talk about our younger generation so you know what I'm saying. Because I know growing up in the 80s, right? Liz, I want to be transparent. I was in the church services. I went to the revivals with the family, okay? I had the satellite stuff coming into the church. I believe that when God moves in a great and a mighty way. And when God moves, you know it. Why? Because His Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there. But I have been part of organizations and revivals and churches where they were saying things were happening that wasn't true. We have a younger generation that's coming up right now. Our teenagers, our young 20s, these folks are very savvy. Listen, these guys, right, they're on the, Mike James, right, this kid knows more about the computer and the iPads and all kind of, way more than I do. And I thought I was a pretty smart fella. But I got an 11-year-old trying to show me how to do stuff. They're savvy, social media. They've got information coming in all the time. But here's something I know that's true about this generation. They know when something is not true. They know when they're being deceived. And they are looking for churches that are speaking the truth and not trying to deceive them. Do you understand? Our older generation is filled with lots of wisdom. We need to listen to what they have to say. They've walked the walk. They've been down the road. They've got experience. But our younger generation, as we begin to look at statistics, if you talk to them about what do you want to see in church, they want to see honesty. They want to see reality. When we say that our church, right, we want to share the real Jesus, we're talking about the real Jesus. We're not talking about some made-up Jesus that might do this or he might not do. We're talking about the Jesus who walked upon this earth in flesh when he was tempted. He did not sin. He went to the cross and he died for you and he died for me. He took upon the pains of the world, the sins of the world upon him for you and me. That's the real Jesus. I was talking to Martin. He said, you know all the pictures we see of Jesus? You know, he's all soft and, you know, he's got the flowing hair and the blue eyes. He's so gentle. He says, but he was a carpenter. Matter of fact, he had to actually build his own tools before he could actually do the work. I did carpentry for 15 years, right? And my hands might be a little soft today, but they used to be rough, right? And I believe Jesus was a tough fella, right? The real Jesus was a tough guy. He wasn't a wimp. He was a tough guy. And if we're going to be a follower of Christ, we've got to be tough people, spiritually. Not all that glitters is of God. We all have an awareness of this slick, polished, and packaged things that are not from God. But we should never be tricked by this. Paul even says this about himself. Paul says, look, he says, I'm not a great speaker. I'm not polished in what I say. He says, but I have one thing. I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can take an ordinary person, give them the power of the Holy Spirit in their life, and they become supernatural. Amen. Jesus even chose fishermen. Average guys. He chose them to change the world. Fishermen on their boat. These were average, everyday guys. So what I'm trying to say this morning is, don't get caught up with all the polished, savvy, glittering things that try to wrap themselves and call themselves the God business, because it may not be true. And today we're going to understand, how do I test it to know what is right and what is false? The second thing, verse 3 says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is not from God. Of course, we just talked about this, right? The Gnosticism. So John, he's saying here, he says, listen to the teachers. And when you're listening to them, if they can't acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that's heresy, because we know that he did. Here's what he was emphasizing, because he says this. He says that every spirit does not confess Jesus is not from God. He says that everything must point to who? Jesus. Everything must point to Jesus. And here's the reason why. When I'm around people that call themselves leaders of the church, who want to lead me, or they want to teach me. And listen, I'm not a cynical person, right? I'm a realist. But I try to be discerning. And when I listen for two things in their conversations, in the way they walk and the way they act, there's two things I'm looking for. Here's the first one. Is Jesus the center of their worship? Listen, when you leave church today, when you come to Life Church, right, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the center of our worship. Jesus Christ is the center of everything that we do. Jesus Christ is at the center of what's going on downstairs right now in the teaching of our kids. Is Jesus the center of their worship, or are they worshiping themselves? Here's the second thing. Does it make me, what they're saying, what they're doing, does it make me want to follow Jesus more fully? Am I encouraged to follow Jesus greater than I am today? Am I here encouraging you to follow Jesus greater today than you did yesterday? Yes, I am. Is Jesus at the center of their worship? And does he make me want to follow Jesus more fully? Because sometimes people talk about Jesus to make you want to follow them and not Jesus. Listen, I've been called to pastor the church. I've been called to lead. I've been called to make decisions. And along the way, I might make decisions and I'm hearing, I pray the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Maybe you don't agree with. Maybe you question. But I'm asking you to be discerning. Take it to prayer and understand you're not here to follow me. You understand? You're not here to follow me. There is a greater shepherd than me. Yes, I've been called to lead. I've been called to pastor. I've been called to make decisions and teach the word. Absolutely. That's the calling God's put upon my life. I've accepted that calling. With that calling comes a great responsibility. But you're not here to follow me. You're also not here to follow any other pastor that's out there. You're here to follow Jesus Christ that's working in their life. And my desire is that you see Jesus working through me, that you see Christ changing my life, that you see me grow. You see that I have these struggles in life. And I'm here to tell you, I have the struggles, but I walk through them and I pray and I ask God to strengthen me. I was talking to my son today. He was dealing with an issue. He said, "Dad, I'm not sure because I got these weaknesses." I said, "Son, it's in your weaknesses that he is made strong." I said, "Embrace the weaknesses. Put your arms around your weaknesses and say, they are weaknesses I have. Lord, help me to grow and strengthen. But in my weaknesses, God, you are made strong." That's the Jesus that we follow. What was happening, people were beginning to follow these false teachers. John was very clear. I want to know here at this church, we're going to proclaim the resurrected Jesus Christ. We're going to live for Jesus in a way that is compelling and welcoming other people to follow him as well. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So everything must point to Jesus. Is Jesus the center of our worship? And does this make me want to follow him more fully? And here's verse 4. It says, "Little children," he says, "you are from God and you have overcome them." Remember what he's talking about here is the spirit of the Antichrist. The ones who are coming in, calling themselves the teachers, calling themselves like Christ, but they're having false, they're false teachers. John says, "I know that that sounds overwhelming." But he says this, he says that our God is a good father. Little children, you are from God. You have overcome them. He says, we are going to walk in a dark world. We're going to walk in the darkness, this place called the world. There is darkness in this world. There's a lot of wild and crazy things that are going to happen. But you, children, are from God. I want you to know that's good news. Because he says you have overcome them. He says the one who is in you. Can you say that this morning? Say the one that is in you. Say it. The one that is in you is greater than the one that is in what? That is in the world. Here's what he's saying. John is saying, so my present tense reality, right, is greater than the present tense reality of the world. So in other words, where I am at now, my present tense reality, where you are in your life right now, where God has you right now, right, you need to understand that you are in a greater place, right, than he who is in the world. Do you understand what that means? Your present tense reality, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Because you have the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. And I want to tackle this misconception about the end times. Because right in our day today, a lot of false teachers are teaching about the end times. Right? A lot of us, I am too, I'm interested. What's happening? We look at Revelations, we look at Daniel, the correlation. What's God's word telling us about the end times? Well, here's why I know that's true. That Jesus Christ is coming back. Absolutely. He's coming back. What's he looking for? A church, come on now, y'all talk back at me, a church without spot and a church without wrinkle. In other words, he's looking for a bride that's ready to receive him as the groom. And in these end times, eschatology really is the learning and teaching and understanding of end times. But what happens is, right, we're hanging on, right, for some future victory. And when our emphasis is put on this future victory, right, we lose the victory that we need today. And what John is saying is greater is he who is in you today, this present tense, than he that is in the world. And I want you to hear this. Life Church, Jesus says, Life Church, I know that we have a world that's filled with terrorists. I know we have a world where diseases, listen to the news, there's a new virus going around, a new disease affecting babies, right? We know that the world is filled with that. Economic stresses are in our world today. We have them. That's why I'm glad we have a Financial Peace University class, right? We can pray, God help me. Lord, I pray, greater is he who's in me. I pray you help me get out of debt. But we have to put forth our feet. We've got to do the right things. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Okay. Here's the truth, right? We are going to have victory in the end. But John is saying this. He says, you can have victory right now. You can have victory today. This present tense, the kingdom of heaven will come and the kingdom of heaven has come. So how is this possible? Right? These are the things that John is telling us to look for with false teachers. Are they pointing us towards Jesus Christ? Are they pointing us to a place we want to more fully, fully follow him? The Gospel of John, chapter 16, it says this in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, underline all the truth. For he will speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he would declare to you the things that are to come. And here's what Jesus was saying. See, Jesus was looking right at John. He was speaking to his disciples. Jesus is looking at John. Listen, John. He said, I'm going to give you the best gift that I can possibly give. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come and not just hang out with you. The Holy Spirit is going to come. He's going to consume you. That's who the Holy Spirit is. That we want him to come and consume our life. He says there's going to be so much of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you that it's going to be almost impossible for you to be deceived. So, right, when we talk about what John is saying, are the teachings we're hearing, the things we're hearing in the Word, are they pointing us toward Jesus Christ? Are they causing us to want to follow Jesus more closely? And if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, Jesus is telling John, John's relaying to us, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are consumed with the Holy Spirit, if you have let him live in your life, consume your life, you will not be easily deceived. But if you are not, hear the warnings. Does that make sense? Okay, awesome. Five of you got it. I'm okay with that. That's a low percentage, but we'll build our way up. Here's the assumption. The assumption that John had, there's something that Jesus had for John that he was going to lean in and listen to the Holy Spirit. So that's our challenge today, is to lean in and listen to the Holy Spirit. To lean in and listen. To let God's Word, right, needs to be the test that we test everything against. If you hear something or some type of teaching or whatever comes up, you listen. Allow the Holy Spirit to consume you so that you're not deceived. Go right to the living Word of God and test it against the Word of God. This is what John was saying. He says that as a church, we need to be infused with the Holy Spirit, the real deal, so that when some cheap knockoff comes around, we won't be deceived. Matter of fact, we won't even desire the counterfeit. We'll only desire the real thing. Did you catch that this morning? What John is saying? Amen. Listen, in our church, in the church world, there are going to be false teachers that come in. There are going to be false teaching. There are people who are going to stand up and they're going to prophesy. They're going to prophesy of things to come. I want our focus to be on the living Word of God. As a church, I want our focus to be on what is God doing in our life right now. What is he doing in us? What is he doing through us? And I want us to allow the Holy Spirit. I want you to be consumed by the Holy Spirit. So, Pastor, what do you mean consumed by the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you the first step being consumed by the Holy Spirit. get up at 6:30 and drive to the church at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning to pray. It's that easy. Matter of fact, instead of doing that on Saturday, why don't you wake up on Monday? If you got to leave work at 7 o'clock to get where you're going, get yourself up about 30 minutes earlier. Listen, we fight. As a country, we have a military. I was part of that for a long time. And I want you to get this idea. In order for that military to be effective in what they do, there's several things that has to happen. They have to know each other. If you ask any veteran who's come back from any contingency overseas who has fought, and you ask them the question, why were you fighting so fiercely? They will not say, I'm fighting for the cause. They will not say, I was fighting because I believe in the political agendas of our president. They weren't fighting because some general sitting over in a room somewhere told them to fight. They were fighting because they loved the brother next to them to their left and the brother to their right. And in order for them to be able to protect and take care of the brother to their left and the brother to their right, they've got to know who they are, they've got to know their mission, and they've got to be prepared. That means spending years in training. You just don't sign up to be part of the military and they send you out the next day. They put you through intensive training so that you are prepared to handle anything that the adversary throws against you. Why is it that we want to be different in the church? Why is it in the church that we just want to wake up late, come to church and say, I've got a battle, I want to go fight the battle, but we're not prepared? I want to encourage you to be prepared to fight the battle, because in the end times, right, and I've said this before, the enemy knows he's been defeated. He knows it. But what he's going to do is he's going to try to keep you from being victorious. We've already been victorious through Jesus Christ, but we have got to fight the battle. Allow the living Word of God to get into you, into your soul, into your heart, into your mind. Prepare yourself what the enemy has before you. And part of that, as John says, is don't be fooled by those who say those things that glitter. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Be consumed by the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to consume every fiber of your being, every part of your day. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to consume you, so that when false teaching comes, when the enemy comes, when the adversary comes, guess what? You've got enough of the Holy Spirit in you that you will not be deceived and you will win the battle. Where you're at this morning, let me pray for you this morning. Let's just pray together. If you would, just sort of close your eyes for a moment. Let's just pray. So, Father in heaven, Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit in our life. God, we welcome the Holy Spirit here in this church. We want more of you, because we know your word says that we're children of a living God. We know, Father, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, if we've been consumed by the Holy Spirit, that the things of the world are not going to be so appealing to us anymore. It'll help keep our focus upon Jesus Christ. It'll keep us centered upon Christ. So, Father, we welcome the Holy Spirit in our life. And God, we want more. We want to make more, make room for more. So that we're not deceived, but we look to you and to the living Word to be our guide, to be the discernment that we need, Father. So fill us today with more of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?